Hello, this is Charlie Berman on KPTZ FM 91.9, speaking to the two prevailing candidates for the Jefferson County District 1 Commissioner position. Both Kate Dean and Tim Thomas won in the August 2nd primary and will face off in the November 8th election. Also here with me is Nicholas Johnson, a reporter for the Jefferson County Leader, who will help me to ask the questions. I'd like to start with preparation. I know that Kathleen Clare went to every meeting for a year, and she sat there and she did all her homework and everything, and then she gets elected and is totally covered with this marijuana issue. And so she had a very, very steep learning curve. And I think that maybe sometimes people running for office don't understand what they're signing up for. But what I'd like to ask you guys is, what is it in your background that best prepares you for this job? Let's start alphabetically with Kate.
Sure. So I feel pretty lucky that my day job puts me in contact with county government regularly. As a manager of a council of governments that the county sits on, I attend a lot of meetings with county staff, with the commissioners, and I feel pretty up to date on the issues that the county is facing right now from the perspective of a commissioner. I'm really curious to hear how voters out in District 2 and 3 perceive some of those issues, because as we know, there's sometimes a divide there. But I feel really well prepared in terms of understanding how systems work. I know the commissioners from both Jefferson and Clallam counties really well. The Council of Governments I manage is two counties, so I've worked closely with all of the cities and counties, really all the governments on the North Olympic Peninsula. So I feel pretty informed.
Okay, Tim, so what's prepared you for this job?
I've been to a few meetings. I think a big problem that we have in many levels of government is people are afraid to make decisions. So having bought my company right before the economy tanked in the end of 07, you know, I had to make tough decisions. Do I expand? Do I try to shrink up? And I decided to expand. I made the decision, and it turned out good. I wasn't afraid to fail. And dealing with, you know, we deal with the county, we deal with the city in our line of work. And so what I see is the inability to make the hard decisions. They want to kind of sweep it down. And, you know, for me, you know, I own my company. I make those hard decisions. And I would do the same thing. You know, I'm not afraid to fail. You know, I don't succeed at everything. So for the last, you know, eight years of owning it and 4 years of running it, you know, I'm able to make those decisions. And, you know, sometimes the worst thing you can do is be indecisive in your actions.
Okay, so maybe I did this backwards. I probably should have each of you give a 30-second roundup of what it is that you do.
What do I do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think from what I can tell, you guys have fairly different backgrounds.
Well, I own an excavating company, Baron Erickson Excavating, and I've worked there. I started in 1990, and in 2007, I bought it from my folks, and been running it ever since. We bought a gravel pit to go along with that, and we had to buy the house. And so, yeah, I mean, we kind of did the whole reverse millionaire thing, you know, trying to make it work. And then, of course, the economy crashed. But we pulled through it. We didn't lose anything. And, you know, you learn a lot of budgeting and figuring out what's important and how to spend your money when you're trying to expand during a recession.
How about you, Kate?
So like I said, I manage a council of governments, and we do regional community and economic development projects. And so that involves a lot of grant writing, administering, grant funding. Some of the projects we work on are things like we're doing some planning work in Chimicum right now to look at transportation and infrastructure needs there. We wrote a big climate change report as an example of the types of projects we work on. But I'd say my heart lies further south in the county. I spent the first 9 years that I lived in Jefferson County owning farms, one in Quilcene and one in Chimicum. And so I have also had my hands dirty a lot here and have a lot of respect for people who work the land.
I think that's a pretty good segue into the fact that coming out of the primary, this race shifts to the full county, and you know, maybe not all voters out there realize this, that the primary is District 1 and the general election is the full county. So how are you guys each connected to the rest of the county? What kinds of connections do you have? You know, talking about your own lives, I think I've heard you say, Tim, that you know, you grew up, you went to all the different school districts in your childhood, and as you were saying, I think you said Kate, you'd been a farmer in Quilcene, was it? So we'll start over here. Talk a little bit, Tim, about, I guess, just your connection to the rest of the county beyond Port Townsend.
Well, I think we moved here when I was 3 in the Chemicum area, and then when my parents split up, I lived with my dad out in Quilcene, and I lived with the Mahan family. He was a logger out there, so a couple of his sons still live out there and are pretty good members out there, and kind of my brothers from another mother, so that was, you know, their mom was my mom kind of growing up. And, you know, then we lived with my mom and went to Chemicum. And then, of course, we spent most of the time back in Port Townsend. But we, you know, my dad always lived out in the hills of Chemicum. So we kind of split time in different places.
So I moved to Quilcene in the late 90s. I was a young, idealistic organic farmer and bought an old homestead there and farmed there for about 7 years, and really, really loved Quilcene. It was not an easy place to live then. I think they were still kind of recovering from some of the spotted owl and forestry wars and aging population. We were going to a lot of 100-year-old birthday parties and a lot of funerals, and so ended up leaving there kind of ahead of our time. I think, Quilcene is really pretty amazing now, a lot of young families moving there. So then moved to Chemicum and started Finn River Farm. Finn is my son, and River is the son of the Kistlers. Eventually sold our share of the farm to them, and they're operating it on their own. I don't own that farm anymore. But I have a real love of the county and some connections there. I feel like I need to spend a lot of time out there, though, and do a lot of listening in coming months.
Yeah, and these are total generalizations, that Port Townsend is farther to the left than the southern districts, and that Port Townsend often decides who is going to be in against the other two. Now, one fallacy of this is that each district has almost the exact same number of people. But
I don't mean to completely interrupt you, but I kind of want to even add to that a little bit, because sure. you're really making a good point, and that is, you know, I was looking at it, and actually 4 of the last 20 races for the Board of County Commissioners had a winner that did not carry Port Townsend in the general election. 3 of those 4 were Republican candidates, and the last Republican candidate to win office was Pat Rogers in 2003. And he was the last Republican elected. What we've seen since then is kind of a Democratic sweep. But it would signal that you kind of have to win Port Townsend to take a county commissioner seat this day and age. You know, and I know that we haven't yet really kind of spoken yet, Tim, about, you know, how did you feel about how you came in the primary? What do you have to do? I'm kind of picking on you now, I know. What do you have to do to kind of make up that ground if it is true that you can't do it without Port Townsend?
Well, one of the things that we've been talking about, you know, since we saw the results is that every district is theoretically the same. The difference is you have apathy out in the county of what does it matter? And I think that we saw that through our whole state. You know, watching the national news, I think people are really disheartened into voting. I think a lot of people probably just threw their ballots away because they're tired of it. But, you know, if Port Townsend, I was really surprised at their turnout, actually. But if Port Townsend's constantly getting 80, 90% turnout, District 2 and 3 are getting 50%. So you have a whole district theoretically not voting. And there's your difference. So we've discussed that with people, saying, you know, if you feel that you're not being heard, it's because you're not saying anything. So you have to vote. And if you don't vote, then I don't really know what to tell you, because that's how you change things. So, you know, whether you vote for me or not, get out and vote, because that's part of being You know, being part of the system is very important, and they're not being part of the system right now, or they haven't been.
Yeah, turnout was not terribly impressive this time around, was it?
Not even for Port Townsend. That that one blew me away.
Yeah.
Charlie. Well, your results were. I mean, you came in second, but you came in way second. I mean, they're disproportionate results. So, what are you going to do to make up for that? Because you got to think that. So, if everybody in District 2 and 3 voted for one candidate, the District 1 candidate would lose, but that's not going to happen because there are people of, I don't want to say break down the left and right, but there are lefties down south and there are righties up here, mm-hmm. if you want to break it down that way. So how are you going to make up?
Well, you figure 60 or 65%, I don't know what ballots still have to come in, but 65% didn't vote. If the people that didn't vote wrote in a candidate, that person would have won. Mm-hmm. So you figure that who knows how the rest of District 1 is going to vote, and then the same thing with District 2 and 3. It's really hard to say. You know, I mean, we figured when we went into this that Kate would take 50-60% of Port Townsend. We figured that was a given. And it came to be true, but the shocking factor was the fact that 35% of people voted.
So you feel like, you know, hey, if we can get the vote out,
you got to get the vote out. Yeah. I mean, that, whether it's for me or for Kate, you have to be able to get the people to vote, and that's the hard part, is getting people to be involved. I mean, we've raised our kids to be very involved in everything, and I know Kate is. So, you know, I mean, 18, here's your ballot. Figure it out. Let's mm-hmm. go through it all.
So Kate, you kind of did a really impressive voter, you know, advocacy effort for yourself. You were everywhere. So are you going to try the same thing in the southern county?
Yeah, what changes? Was you shift to the south county, what changes as far as your campaigning strategy? Anything? I mean,
yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of one-on-one in the south county, that I need to have a lot of conversations with people. You know, my base is in town here, and that is really important to me, and it has fueled this campaign, and I love those folks, and they're going to be really important in the general, but I there's a learning curve for the rest of the county, and I am probably less in touch with those issues than Tim is, because he's out there working every day. So I think connecting one-on-one with people is really important. I think there's a lot of distrust of government in parts of the county, and trying to put a friendly face and say, you know, I am somebody real and approachable, that's going to be important to me. You know, I think the other missing piece here is, what is the effect of the national stage going to have on our county? Because we know that it's a wacky year all around. And is the left or the right going to be especially engaged? And how is that going to affect two Democrats running also?
But neither one of you, I mean, I was facetious before, neither one of you is going to call voter fraud. Neither one of you is, I mean, both of you were saying, I'll go out on a limb there, so that's how it differs from the presidential. But I don't know. It seems like, but I actually was very curious about the western part of the county, and it seems like whoever, you know, drew out these maps really wasn't thinking. So we have this whole western part of the county that really gets no service. The Planning Commission went out for a meeting, an outreach meeting, and nobody, should they redraw the map, or should, you know, is there a special effort we can put to represent those people?
Well, and this comes into sharp relief when you think about the Undy Road issue that the county is facing right now, where we have a very expensive road repair, very few people living out there. How do you justify the per person cost of that, and yet how do you not? It's a basic service. Counties provide roads. So my understanding is that there is not another county chomping at the bit to annex the West End, and I'm not proposing that, but I mean, I think it's been on the table in the past because it is really inefficient to be providing services out there, and indeed Jefferson County provides few of those services. They contract for most of them. And yet, the public lands on the West End are extremely important to the county, in large part because of the payment in lieu of taxes that the county receives, because they do not get property taxes off federal lands. So they do provide a lot of value, and yet it's going to be, especially what we know about climate change, there's going to be more and more extreme weather on the coast, and how are we going to be able to maintain the little infrastructure we have there and provide services to the population? There's no easy answer.
Okay, so to maybe refocus the question to Tim, and you're an excavator, correct?
Yep.
What's your opinion of what they're doing out in Undy Road? Or
well, my opinion on that was, how many times have they fixed it, and why didn't they reroute it the first time? If you know you're going to have constant problems, I mean, we've looked at, you know, all the Duckabush, the Dosey Wallops, there's constantly having problems down there. Rivers change their course. The fact that they have a road that's the only way in next to a river and it's washed out, sure, fix it once. It's kind of that whole theory of they should have fixed it. They should have spent the money years ago and they'd be money ahead. So that's, once again, the hard decision that I feel sometimes that if it's not in your wheelhouse, it's hard to make a tough decision. You know, there's decisions that I would not feel comfortable making if I didn't have a good background in it. In this case, I do. I would have made that decision years ago.
You are listening to KPTZ Port Townsend, a discussion between County Commissioner candidates Tim Thomas and Kate Dean, conducted by myself, Charlie Berman, and Nicholas Johnson of the Port Townsend Jefferson County Leader.
Earlier this year, the commissioners approved, for the first time since 2008, an increase in commissioner salaries. The reason was, you know, the recession wasn't a good time to be doing that kind of thing. It brought those salaries in line with other elected officials in the county. And it also sort of acknowledged the commissioners themselves, David Sullivan in particular, and Phil Johnson, acknowledging that this is a full-time job. The question I'm getting around to is, you guys both have, it would seem, fairly busy lives without running for this position and or being elected to it. What are you going to do? Tim, with your business, what happens there? Kate, with your role in this Council of Governments and the various other things that you're involved with, what happens there?
Sure. So I would need to leave my position with the Council of Governments, and I'm prepared to do that. I am glad that there is a commissioner role on that Council of Governments that either I could continue to be involved with, or David Sullivan, who's been the representative for many, many years, would continue to be involved with. So I don't feel like I would lose touch with that completely. Looking at Kathleen Clear, it looks like a really demanding job. It looks like much more than a full-time job to do it well, especially when you're new. There's a ton of research, and I was so impressed with how she, for example, handled the marijuana issue right when she came on board. There's so much research that goes into good policy decision-making and analysis, so I'm prepared for it to be an enormous amount of work. I do think that part of the appeal of Tim and I is that we are both from working families, and we've had a lot of retirees in the position of commissioner in the last many years. And, you know, I think I'm willing to say, yeah, it's going to be tough. And my kids are used to seeing me go off to a whole lot of evening meetings, and they're often in tow with coloring books and iPads. And there's a real value in having families represented in government, busy as they are.
I'm glad to see that it's a full-paying job, because like Kate said, you're not going to attract people that actually work for this job. You're going to attract retirees, which give you more of a only one viewpoint throughout our county. And we're a fairly aged county, so we're up there in the average age, like top. So for me, I've actually hired someone that runs my company, so I haven't really been working a whole lot lately, and I wish we had met 5 years ago. But yeah, I mean, we've set ourselves up. My kids have now all graduated, so I don't have the children at home, but they're not necessarily gone. But yeah, I've thought about it a lot from the last time I ran to this time. Is you know, how is that going to affect my business? And I don't think I was set up as well last time as I am this time. So, you know, I've put a lot more thought into that. But, you know, my day right now starts at 5:30. So, you know, by the time the commissioners have their meeting, I'm ready for lunch. So that's been my lifestyle for 25 years.
So let's talk about last time, where I'm going to go over the history of your candidacy there. But, you know, you were running for, you know, as a Republican in District 2 against David Sullivan. And now you're running as a Democrat in District 1 for an open seat. And then you see stuff in the leader and things like, well, Tim Thomas, you know, he's not a real. How do you reconcile all these things that people say, you know, bring up what happened 4 years ago?
Well, it was an interesting journey 4 years ago. Yeah, we pretty much got fought right from the get-go. And yeah, he wrote another letter. That was the last one they published. So, you know, how I am, and I said it in one of our forums, if you get elected, you're there for the people. I'm not necessarily a party guy, but I've had 4 years to think about how I would rerun. And, you know, I looked at the Democrat platform, and I know it did change a little bit, but, you know, it's all, in my mind, very common sense stuff. And there's not really anything I disagree with. So for me to be able to run as a Democrat, you know, my parents on one side are fairly conservative, my parents on the other side are fairly liberal. So that was kind of the home I grew up in. So, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, go one way or the other. But, you know, if I had to pick and choose, you know, after my experience last time, that's how I made my decision.
We're gonna shift over to Kate with a little bit of a different question. I know that to kind of carry that on, we know that, as you said, have said in many forums, I think, that you're very much supportive of the Democratic platform, and so that all kind of falls in line very nicely. I want to shift, though, to a question more about your work on the Chimicum Crossroads Project. And I ask this because it seems, you know, that there are some in that community who are a little concerned about the involvement of a New York-based group in that effort, which is that effort is essentially, you know, looking to plan ahead for future growth in the area. What do you say to people who are unsure about the involvement of a New York-based group? What is their involvement really here? This is something that I think maybe people are. Maybe not sure about what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help put that in perspective?
Sure. So, Nicholas, you attended the forum we had in Chimicum where about 80 people showed up to hear more about this project, and we did get some pushback on the New York representative. I would say his primary role is as a check signer for a pretty darn small check that doesn't get us very far in that movement. And since then, some of the pushback we've gotten has actually been that I, as a Port Townsender, shouldn't be involved. So it's even more local than that. And I understand those concerns. I've lived in the county and know that it feels like a lot happens in Port Townsend, and a lot of decision making happens in particular that doesn't always take the county's interests into play. Mm-hmm. So the irony is that the purpose of this project is to gather input from the people who are living there, and specifically to find out what is it that we want to preserve, knowing that there's going to be change of some sort. How is it that we can be a part of shaping what that change looks like? And so I've been involved in these projects enough to know that it's normal that people are going to have some of these concerns, and there are always going to be the people who are going to provide some constructive input, and there are going to be some people who are distrustful of anybody representing government, much less some unknown nonprofit in New York City, and then most people aren't going to be involved at all. And, you know, part of government is hearing all those perspectives and taking them in, and, you know, there's some really genuine gripes and concerns in the county, and my job as a commissioner wouldn't be any different than it is now, is to take those in and try and find where the most overlap is.
Okay, so we're coming kind of toward the end. I'm going to do something a little weird and just have each one of you ask the other a question. In this case, we'd like to keep it to about a minute. So this is, you know, we're not limiting the discussion, but saying, like, Tim, you ask Kate something, she answers in a minute, and vice versa. Does this work for you?
Putting you on the spot, I know.
But get used to it.
This is supposed to be your interview, not ours.
Okay, Kate, ask him a question.
Oh, I liked your scenario better. Okay. So, Tim, what would you say if Rite Aid wanted to come in and build a store at the four-way stop in Chimicum?
there's a constantly not in my backyard mentality. I'm not necessarily for bringing in big box stores. That one I feel would compete with what we have, and I wouldn't necessarily want that here. The ones that I would like to see us bring back would be a Sears and maybe a Penny's, because those are things you can't get here. And we travel all outside the county both ways. So not only is the tax revenue leaving, but what does that say for our carbon footprint as a county when we have constant traffic leaving?
Take it away.
I don't know. I'm not a good question asker.
I feel that way myself sometimes, I tell you.
Yeah, it's your job, though. What is a good question? I don't know. I don't do questions.
Why don't we make it easy on you?
Make it easy
and
for
let's,
me.
And let's say essentially the same question for Kate.
Well, as a District 1, I mean, what would you say of bringing in big box stores into Port Townsend?
Well,
because, I mean, I know they definitely don't want it, but, I don't know. It's.
But see, this is a small county and we got a small commission, and I've been told several times that David Sullivan is essentially a commissioner for Port Townsend and Quilcene, and you all are working on the same people, so it's appropriate to ask Kate, well, what if they wanted to put a Rite Aid in Chimicum Crossroads? So what would your viewpoint be?
So I think one of the values in this comprehensive planning process that the county is going through right now is it helps to gather a lot of input on what's the pulse right now on, and I think a lot of this election is coming down to environment versus economy, which I think is a false dichotomy. But in this case, you're talking about rural character versus some potential economic growth. I would love to do some cost-benefit analysis on Rite Aid stores. They exist in rural communities, and see what are the wages that are being paid, how much is it costing to bring services. They do exist in places where they put in their own services. That's a potential. So my immediate response is I would be opposed to it, and yet I think that the job of a commissioner is to do that thorough analysis and make that decision based on some fact.
Okay, well, we're winding up here. Charlie Berman for KPTZ, talking to County Commissioner candidates Tim Thomas and Kate Dean, assisted or actually led by Nicholas Johnson of The Leader. And what they both seem to be saying, even though there isn't a lot of disagreement, is get out and vote.
Yes.
Heck yeah.